speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
Remember, my friends, the gospel is God's power to change our lives, and it will save our soul when we commit ourselves to Him in obedience and have the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of our Savior. The Word of God is the Word of life. It is the plan and pattern for living. And this expression of God's love in the Word of God to show us the way is called grace. In Titus 2:11 and 12, he said, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." It's so important that we handle the Word of life correctly. Paul said, though we, the apostles, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say we now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. So we're responsible for preaching the Word in its purity, and all men are responsible for hearing the Word in its purity and obeying it. And by hearing and obeying the Word, we, of course, may purchase to ourselves all things that pertain to life and godliness. In 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that by His divine power, Peter wrote, He hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. What is your religion? What does the word religion mean? My friends, we learned that religion, the word itself, is found about 5 times in the New Testament, but it always points to a different, separate system of faith and practice. So what we practice in religion is our religion, what we give our devotion to, whether it be to the things of the flesh or to the things that are taught by the Spirit and the Word of God. That makes the difference in what our religion actually is. Do you walk in harmony always with the Word of God? If so, then you are a Christian. You're a member of the Church of Christ. And indeed, you want to walk continually in His will and in His way. And that is your religion. That is your way of living. That is your system of faith and practice. But we have many people who have many questions about religion today. They've not read their Bible. They've not studied the Word of truth. And so because of that, they're very confused. Oftentimes men say, I wish I were not so confused. And my answer to them every time is, it's not anything God wants you to be confused about. Read your Bible. Now, if we would read our Bible and let that be our religious guide, then we would wear the name of Christ in the name Christian. We would obey the gospel of Christ in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. We would live in the Lord, working out those things which He has made for our salvation. For He says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He afore prepared that we should walk in them. Our society encourages and exalts selfishness. Really, it is that, my friends, because it teaches us to measure our worth on the basis of our material possessions and what we want and what we like. So what is your religion? Consequently, you see, we're under great pressure to obtain many things in this life, and we're under no pressure to make any distinctive call to do what the Lord teaches. Now, hence, the Lord's church often suffers as a direct result of this selfishness upon the part of those about us in society. People have few areas of where they are disciplined in their spending, or they have food, transportation, housing, utilities, and insurance, and the costs are fixed for most folks. And thus, what we contribute to the Lord's work is one of the few areas where we freely determine how much we give. So in our religion, we decide we will not give as the Lord has prospered us. We will not give as the Lord has commanded us. But we will do only those things which our religion sets forth for us to do. Now, we must not allow the adversary, my friends, to deceive us in worship or in obedience to God's commands. We must take those things which the Lord has commanded if we want to have the Lord's religion. It is not a cheap religion. It does deserve the very best that we have. We remember Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, He that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. All right, then in giving, as we have learned, we must keep the commandments of the Lord. Well, what about in singing? When it comes to singing, many people say, I had rather hear an instrument played. But my friends, the Bible says we are to sing. And if we have the right kind of religion, we're going to be singing praises, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs accompanied by our hearts in worship unto God. Well, when it comes to preaching, some people say, I love to be entertained. I'd like to hear some good stories. I don't want to hear the Word of God. But the Bible says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. So what is your religion? If your religion is not a system of faith and practice set by the Lord, by which the gospel is preached, then, my friends, who is it set by? If it's not the Lord, then it has to be the things of the world. Man says when we come around the Lord's table, we don't care to take just of the fruit of the vine and the bread and think of our Lord's death and suffering. We want to sing or we want to play something on an instrument during that time. Well, there's a mixture of two kinds of worship there. There's singing, in which we have to give our full attention in order to sing in spirit and in truth and with understanding. And then there's the Lord's Supper, which we're supposed to be putting our minds to the thoughts concerning the cross and our Lord's suffering there. Well, what is your religion? Are you going to let the Lord set the manner in which you do these things? Or shall you let man set that way and that order? You see, the difference is the system of faith and practice to which you subscribe. Sometimes preachers are wanted to be somewhat above others, and so they talk about clergy and laity. Now, you don't find that in the Bible. Did you know that? And it oftentimes is significant that people use those terms, especially when we ask, what is your religion? We know that if they use those terms, their religion is not of the Lord, because the Lord never used those terms. Well, somebody asks at times, what shall I call you then as a preacher? And this question is asked me many times each year. What people want to know is, do you have a title before your name? And if my religion were of human nature, I certainly would want the longest title I could possibly get. But you see, my religion must be regulated by the Bible. And so the answer is that I don't have any titles. I, too, am a man just like everyone else. Teachers of the Word of God in the New Testament did not have a title by which they were called. I'm not a priest because in the New Testament all Christians are priests. So I am only one of the priests. I am not the priest of any parish or of any diocese. Now, if you want to look at that, 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, of people belonging unto God. Does that sound like there are some above others who are to be called priests and the others are not priests? Why, no, my friends. All Christians are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. In other words, every member of the church is to offer worship unto God. Now, I am not a pastor either, or a bishop, or a shepherd, or an overseer, or a presbyter, or an elder. I am a simple gospel preacher. All of these terms, of course, pastor, bishop, shepherd, overseer, presbyter, and elder, they're always plural in the New Testament. And all of them have reference to the same group. They have reference to the elders who oversee the flock. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, we find the qualifications of these men. And so, if I have not met those qualifications, if I have not been selected to work in that area, and I'm not an elder, I'm not a pastor. Now, my friends, I know that many people want to pay respect to preachers, and I appreciate that very much. But please don't call me reverend, and don't call me pastor, or bishop, or overseer, or shepherd, or presbyter, or elder, because I do not serve in that capacity. It's not that I don't have respect for that office, and I appreciate those men who serve in these capacities. But my friends, I want my religion to be guided and guarded by the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul wrote to Timothy and exhorted him, in the sight of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For He said the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine, but had they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they would turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. So Timothy here is exhorted to preach, to be an evangelist, used here as a term interchangeable, and that's what I do. I preach the gospel. I am an evangelist. I am one who carries the gospel to other people. Now, in Ephesians 4:11, he mentioned evangelists, didn't he? He gave some to be pastors and teachers, but he gave others to be evangelists, preachers. And they were listed, of course, separately and apart from pastors. As a gospel preacher, I do not want to be called pastor then, because I'm not a pastor, because I'm not an elder, I'm not a bishop, I'm not a shepherd, an overseer. I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist of the gospel. So please do not call me by the name pastor. And it's not because I want to be ugly to you. It's not because I don't appreciate respect. But it's because I want my religion to be of God. Please don't call me reverend either. You know, the word is found only one time in the text of the Bible. In Psalms 111 and verse 9, the psalmist wrote, "Holy and reverend is His name." And he's referring to God. God's name is holy and reverent, not some preacher's name. That wasn't what he said here. Now, why would anyone want to pick up on a designation that belongs to God and apply it to himself? The church of the Bible, by which we try to live and go, was not burdened with the idea of clergy and laity. The world brought that up, my friends, not the Lord. Ask those in the world to show you where there is a clergy and laity. And these titles that are given to men to distinguish one from another, the disciples never practiced that. The disciples in the New Testament said, "We are brethren." And there is no reference made at all to Reverend Paul, or Dr. James, or Father Peter, or Pastor John, or Master Jude. Now, my friends, it's not that we desire to be ugly. It's not that at all. And I'm asking you this morning, what is your religion? It is told by what system of faith and practice you follow. If you're following the New Testament, then you won't call men by the names of designation that lifts them above others in the Lord's church. Preachers in Bible times were known for what they did. They preached, and therefore they were preachers. They were evangelists, therefore they're called evangelists. They were servants in the Lord's church and workers in His kingdom. Call them a servant, call them a worker. It describes their work. But you see, the thing that makes the difference is not that we want to be different from others. It's simply that we want to be right in the sight of our Lord. Well, we have many questions that come from different avenues concerning religion. What is your religion? Is it a religion of leftovers? You know, to illustrate the absurdity of idolatry, the prophet Isaiah once preached a sermon in which he told of a man who planted a tree in the forest. And when the tree was grown, the man cut it down. He burned part of it for firewood. He used part of it to cook his food. And then he took what was left over and he used it to make a god. That's recorded, if you desire to read it, in Isaiah 44, verses 14 through 17. Now, Isaiah concluded by saying, "What a religion like that is more satisfying than the feeding of ashes." He did not think it was. Isaiah 44 and verse 20. It was Isaiah's conviction that the true and living God would never be content with idolatry or with the leftovers of a man's life. He will not accept service or worship which cost us nothing or that comes to us as an afterthought. I'm afraid many people put religion way down the line when they think of their priorities of life, don't you? Unfortunately, though, many people are trying to relate to God in the same way this man approached his idolatry. They are content with a religion of leftovers. In other words, some people give God what is left over of their loyalty. Jesus taught that God comes first in life. Matthew 6:33, He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." Now, did He say, "Seek your job first"? No, he said seek the kingdom first. Did he say seek your family first? No, he said seek the kingdom first. Did he say seek what enjoyments first that you desire in life? No, he said seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Well, when you stop to ask the question, what is my religion? You must answer, my friends, by the question as to whether or not you follow the New Testament pattern or not. Religion is a system of faith and practice. What system of faith and practice do you follow? Jesus taught that God comes first in life. So those who follow Jesus' religion, they want to put him in the first place of their loyalty. But many people place God far down the list of their priorities. They are more loyal to family or to job or to civic duties, a sports team maybe, or a favorite TV program than they are to God. Well, this is a religion of leftovers, isn't it? Some give God what is left of their time. You know, next to our soul, our time is the most precious possession that we have. The Apostle Paul wrote in the Ephesian letter, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And be not foolish," he said, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, next to our soul, our time, then, is the most precious possession we have. Do you have any time to kill? My friends, a Christian doesn't have time to kill. He has time to use in the Lord's service, and that's his religion. He wants to put the Lord first. He doesn't want to give him the leftovers of his loyalty, nor the leftovers of his time. You know, poor Richard's almanac called time the stuff life is made of, and I think that's a pretty good thought. The Christian has to use his time wisely for God. But all too often, we're content to give God that little bit of time that we can salvage from our other interests and our other activities. We give God an hour, maybe even two a week, and we squander the rest of our time on all of our other things. Now, where would you say that your religion really lies? What is your religion? Then next of all, some give God what is left over of their money. After taking out for the car payment, the house payment, the utilities, the grocery money, the entertainment expenses, well, if there is anything left, it's grudgingly given to God. And sometimes the complaint is made, it just seems they're always looking for money. Well, my friends, God's share of your money and mine ought to come first, shouldn't it? Let each one of us put aside and save that we may prosper, and that we prosper and give as we prosper. 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul said, "Upon the first day of the week, when you're to gather together, let every one of you lay by him in stores, he may prosper, that there be no collections made when I come." But then some give God what is left over of their energy and their ability. All have talents, you know, and they should be used in the Lord's service. In fact, we'll be judged by the use of our talents. In Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30, he said, "In the judgment scene, there was one who had five talents, one two, and one. The five-talent man used his talents and made five more. The two-talent man used his talents, and he made two more because that was his ability. But the one-talent man said, 'I knew that you were a hard taskmaster, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. So I want you to have your talent back, but I didn't make anything off of it.'" Well, my friends, because he was not willing to give the energy and ability to the Lord, the Lord said, "Take that unprofitable servant and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Too often, we exhaust ourselves and our talents in trivial pursuits, don't we? And God gets only the dregs of our life. And then last of all, some give God what is left over of their life. Some have concluded that religion is for old folks. And while they're young, they intend to eat, drink, and be merry. They want to sow a few wild oats. They want to get all the gusto they can because they go around only once. And then they plan in the last moments of their life to turn to God. But the wise man counsels, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when they shall say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Ecclesiastes 12:1. And in that same chapter, in the last verses of it, he says, this is the end of the matter. "Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man." What is your religion? What is your system of faith and practice? Who made it? is it that which shall see you safely into the eternal boat of heaven? My friends, we want you to follow the Bible. It is the Word of Life.